The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This morning here. Where are we, Doug?
Poke the hornet's nest.
And I'm ready to do some poking. What do you want to poke on? Anything special? I'm Nick Gardner. I've got my co-host Doug Jinky here. We're streaming live from KCNR, 1460.com. We don't take calls. I did tell one gal she could call after the break if she wants to call. And we can talk about anything we want to talk about. Do you want to talk about anything special?
Well, I mean, in the last couple of weeks, there hasn't been much news at all. I mean, candidates get shot. There's a Republican convention. I don't think there's been much happening that we really need to hit on today. I think we can call the show, start it out.
Well, you know what? I saw a clip the other day that said Biden needs 4 more years to get inflation back down.
Now, that's funny because it only took him 1 year to get it up.
Let me read you this. This is from Jennifer Bowen. My husband and I were talking last night about how 12 packs of drinks is $9 now and how in 2020 I used to buy them 4 for $10. I went on the internet, went to a Walmart, and a 12-pack of Dr. Pepper is $7.84, so she's not that far off. I decided to go back to Walmart app and see what I was paying for a random grocery order. In January 2020, I paid $70.20 for 30 items. I added all them to the cart again and repurchased them today. Today, those 30 items were $165.42. That's 92.25 price increase in 4 years. That's 135.6 inflation package. Aren't they saying inflation's only about 20%?
Well, no. I mean, this is where, obviously, your age is coming through. They say inflation is at 3%, but they don't include fuel, food, energy, housing, or now the new one is insurance, because insurance, in many cases, has gone up hundreds and hundreds of percent. If you really want to get some good stuff, go to shadowstats.com. They actually have it, and they have our insurance rate currently. If you add in all the things that we actually pay for, our inflation is probably getting close to 20%, which is borderline what they call the beginning of hyperinflation. But I'm not supposed to say that because it's against the company narrative. However, yeah, it's funny, Nick, that you mentioned that, and that's exactly right. How can they say straight-faced it's 3% when food has gone up that much in, 3.5 years? How can it's not even possible. Just the food alone makes inflation rate go up.
How can they say with a straight face that Biden won the election? These people are straight-faced people.
Well, I'm going to be very politically correct here. I had a discussion this last week when I was on Carl Bott's show, and he said that Biden won the election, and I corrected him. I said, no, Carl, half the country doesn't think Biden won the election, and the other half's lying about it. So there's still people that think somehow that this man who didn't campaign, who couldn't draw 3 people to a crowd while Trump was out there drawing 50,000, somehow there's people that still think he won the election.
You better start getting on Biden or on Carl Bott about senility and quit picking on me.
Well, I'm dealing with 2 old guys. I can pick on both of you. It's equally. I'm an equal opportunity offender.
You know, we've come up with a new definition of what last call is.
What's that?
Go pee before we leave.
Well, hey, Nick, I want to tell a story to the people just because this actually happened. This is a true story. It's happened in the last 2 weeks. And just to let you know how far America has sunk, how bad it has become, I got a call from a client of mine, and his daughter lives here locally. He's out of the state now, but he calls me and asks me to get some information. I helped. But the story is this, and this is why this is important, because if there's any cops listening, I hope you're listening. This lady ordered a Lyft. Uber, Lyft, Lyft. This guy apparently picked this lady up, and somewhere along the way started attacking her. Started attacking her in the car, is my understanding, and she had to jump out of the car. She called the police to file a police report, but the police wouldn't file enough a report because she didn't have enough injuries to go on. And when she called Lyft, Lyft said because a police report wasn't filed, they can't do anything against the driver. So if there's any cops listening, I hope that it never happens to your daughter, your sister, your mom, your grandma, because the fact that this – and, I mean, this is dead serious. I'm not here to be some hyper – let's raise – but I couldn't believe it when the guy said – my friend said to me point blank, she tried to get a police report, and the police refused to take a report. And because of the lack of the report, Lyft won't do anything against the driver. So just know there's somebody out there who's done that to a local girl. So if it happens again – if it happens again, make sure that the police are aware that this is not a solo one event. They rarely are. And so I thought I'd start to show off with that saying, you know, if there's a cop out there that says, hey, have her contact me and we'll get a report, because that's how far America has sunk. You can be attacked, but you can't be attacked enough for a report. Isn't that crazy, Nick?
Well, let me give a little defense for the police. I believe the patrol officers are doing a really good job.
Oh, I think they're
job.
All doing a yeoman's work.
And I'm guessing that she called the police, and she's talking to a dispatcher, maybe a community service officer.
Maybe.
Who, in my opinion, their job is to just satisfy you and not have to take a report. I believe that if she would have called an officer to the scene and said, here's what happened, she would have got a report.
Well, I'm guessing, I'm just making a false assumption here, so let's understand, I wasn't involved, this is third party, but this guy, I have a huge respect for as being truthful and honest. I'm guessing she must have called 911, and so you would think that 911 would have at least sent an officer to get something, and
911 is not police officers.
No, I'm saying, she called somebody to get a police report, nobody showed up, and then Lyft, and obviously it's Lyft, so they know who the driver was, what time she was picked up, the car, the drive, you know, they know all of that. And they won't do anything because she doesn't have an actual police report. So I just thought I'd throw that out there that's United States in 2024. And then I see old Stephanie's getting her butt handed to her because they let that guy walk after, they didn't press charges on him on two things. So, you know, the victims are becoming the perps, and the perps are becoming the victims. That's 2024 United States.
Well, back to that gal that was assaulted by the Lyft driver, I would have called 911 and said, I've been assaulted and I need a police officer here right now.
Well, and again,
she might have got a little bit different response.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know the absolute, but when he was telling me, and I kept saying to him, I'm like, there's no way. The cops wouldn't give a police report. And then the gentleman said no. He goes, his daughter is, you know, very, very upset, and she's trying to get some
I might have even took quotes. Her right on down to the police station, right up there. Here. We're here. Here's what happened. We want a report.
Well, I don't know where she was at or what Lyft was, but this was a story that was told to me, and the guy was very upset. I actually asked if his daughter wanted to come on and at least give us details without identifying who she was, and he said he had talked to her. I did not hear, so I thought I would just relay it as a PSA to the people out there that apparently we have a Lyft driver in the community who has done this.
Well, a lot of people are nervous to come on Radio Live.
Oh, well, yeah. Because, I mean,
for the first time, especially.
Oh, yeah.
If you're complaining about the police, especially.
Well, my wife was really concerned that when I started doing this with you, Nick, what is it? It's been 2 years now, almost, hasn't it? We did try this in the COVID sometime, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah. And she thought for sure that, this was a bad move for me. And I said, I'm making all kinds of bad moves. Just add it to the list.
Yeah, besides, this one's fun.
So, Nick, you've got all kinds of stuff laid out in front of you. What do you got going there, man?
Oh, not all that much, but I do have some. Let's talk about what's going on with the county right now. You know, we've
it's been kind of quiet, actually.
No, not really. It just hasn't been advertised all that much. But, you know, we've got a meeting coming up Monday. It's the election integrity meeting. And Tom Toler, our new clerk, is going to be there to solicit suggestions from the board.
Oh.
The Elections Integrity Board. So that might be interesting. It starts at 2 o'clock right there in chambers. And there's been a couple of things that have come up that I found interesting. R2 on not this last, well, it was 716. They talked about, I don't know if they passed it or they voted to put it on the agenda for a future to vote on, but an ordinance of the Board of Supervisors of the County of Shasta adding limitations on the exercise of eminent domain to Shasta County Charter and adopt a resolution which calls for an election and consolidates it with the November 5th election. What this is they don't want the government, and in this case the county, to be able to go and say, I'm taking your piece of property and I'm giving it to this private entity that's going to build a 7-Eleven on it because it's going to generate more taxes. Or we're going to put affordable housing here. You're not doing with anything with this property. Eminent domain was made for infrastructure projects, mainly.
Yes.
You know, I'll give you a good example of eminent domain is the Stillwater Business Park. They took that property through eminent domain, the city of Redding, from a family named Sanders, and they'd had that property for a long time, and they'd built that business park out there. If you recall, Mike Warren said, we'll be able to pick and choose the businesses we want to locate here in Redding. Well, you know, after about 5 years, they couldn't give a lot away.
No.
But they are developing now, but it's two local businesses that are developing out there.
Well, I mean, and that's after the city of Redding taxpayers have been on the hook for well over $30 million in debt coverage and everything else. So are we getting $30 million back in tax revenue? I'm going to say it may be down the road, but we are so upside down in the Stillwater Park, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yes.
It's amazing.
And see, I went to the meeting and I spoke. I thought this would affect all of Shasta County. It doesn't affect the other entities, the city of Redding, the city of Shasta Lake, and Anderson. I would have assumed it included them, but it doesn't. And I compared this to the riverfront specific plan. You know, they're going from Highway 44 down to Cypress. That's privately owned. They want to dictate what's going to go in down there. And as far as I can tell, unless they convince the landowner that this is what he wants to put in there, the only way they can get that done is through eminent domain.
Well, and they took a step in the right direction by appointing Mr. Johnson to the city council. So Bethel has a 4-1 presence on the city council now. And so anybody can say, well, there's nothing to do with Bethel. When all four of the same people from the same church are on the city council.
I believe
of the connections, that's pretty close.
I believe you're mistaken. I think Johnson is from Rising King.
Oh, I thought he was there with Bethel. That was one of the complaints about him going on the planning commission.
Well, I looked it up, and the claim was he's on Rising King, and I went to their website and watched one of their worships, and as far as I can tell, me not going to church, it looked like about the same outfit to me. What I didn't like is about what he had to say about the riverfront specific plan was he wants what the people want. He wants to wait and see what the people want. And they've got this committee going, and they've got 20 hand-picked people up there that evidently are representing everybody else in Redding.
Yeah.
And I just see a lot of potential that, well, I don't see any potential. Bethel's going to do what they want.
Well, I mean, you know, there are elections in the near future, so we'll see how that goes. But I just thought that was interesting because I thought Reznor was a shoe-in. I really thought she was going to be the fourth pick right there. But when I saw Johnson, I said, well, okay, maybe I was wrong on that one.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it was all a setup. They had Schrader, Aaron Reznor, and Joshua Johnson. And in fact, I got to correct myself. Last week I said it was Joshua Brown. I just got mixed up. Joshua Brown is a young, probably about 20-year socialist who's running for Shasta County Board of Education. His father's on there. We're going to have a clip about the Moms of Liberty right after the break. Be sure and tune in because this pretty much explains what their position is. But anyway, where was I going with Joshua?
Come back, Joe. Come back, Joe. Bring it back.
I've gone about far enough. But
well, say every time you get stomped, just say, anyways. Just say anyways every time. That just keeps it going.
You know the thing I was thinking about. And we say Medicare.
So, let's see. I've got some clips. I don't even remember what they're about. Oh, it's about the meetings. Let's go to the meetings. The number one clip, we've got Rickert and Garment arguing about everything should have been included in the charter when they voted for it the first time. Dave, we've got a new engineer here, production manager. Dave, he's doing a great job. This is his first being put on the spot. Can we have clip number one, please?
So, having no other cards, we're going to take a roll call vote. Supervisor Garment.
Thank you, Chairman Cry. Before we take the vote, I just want to say one last thing here. In the beginning, when we talked about putting this charter forward, and I voted against it, it wasn't because I necessarily was against the charter county and the principle of it. It was the timing that it felt rushed, that we weren't adding enough items to it. And here, as I'm looking down this list, or your 85 for Los Angeles County, I see San Bernardino's had 27 amendments since 1912. You know, and some of the other counties was 6, 20, 23, 19, 25. How many are we going to have before it even begins?
We're going to take as many as it takes.
This is where we should have put it all together in the beginning. We should have taken more time and written it up properly for the voters to completely understand. And I will be voting no because I think we rushed it through.
I think it's great. Supervisor Rickert.
And I just want to add, as we continue to make all these amendments to the original charter county that was put before the voters, this is costing staff time. It's costing the county and the taxpayers dollars. And we should have gotten it right the first time before we even got this far. And I agree, the numbers are not there. The other thing that, and I've said it before, why are we, I realize there's a few small rural counties that are charter counties, but the vast majority of them are big cities like San Francisco and L.A. County. And so I don't understand why we're doing something that the big cities are doing if we want to remain rural.
See, I would just say I've never seen people so afraid of the electorate making decisions in my life. Supervisor Jones.
Yeah, I mean, the way you have a successful charter is you keep it simple. You don't add 10 or 20 things at the beginning. It would have failed easily. That was the whole point of making it very simple and very clear. It was always expected that the public can put things forward to the voters, and so could the board. And I expect the people to come forward as well when there is a pressing issue. This specific issue protects private property owners from the government taking property. This is a no-brainer. If you don't support this, I think it's just foolish.
It's just political, but that's okay. We'll start with Ms. Blankenship. We'll start with a roll call vote.
That's the end of it. Cut her off.
Supervisor Rickert.
Okay, so there you go. Boy, did I hit the...
You keep doing that. My mic keeps going up my nose.
Okay, well, the thing is, the reason the charter was simple to start with, it gave the electorate the power to make decisions with the county.
Yeah.
Now we're giving the electorate, meaning you and I and all the voters, the power to decide what we want on the charter.
Yep.
If you'd have done more than what they did to start with, there's just too many people that wouldn't understand. And they'd be screaming, look at all the power they're taking. They haven't taken any power. They're putting things on the ballot. If you want them, you vote for them. Mary Rickert and Tim Garment strike me as the kind of people that got elected. I'm the boss. This is what we're going to do.
Well, I mean, you know, excuse me, in particular with Mr. Jones talking about, you know, this is simply to stop eminent domain and the government from taking private land. That's what our foundation of our country is the private ownership of land is what we're based on. And the fact we give the government this power to come in for what they see as a required use, even though, I mean, there's well-known cases, especially in the East Coast, where they came in and they eminent domain entire neighborhoods, and then the developer went belly up and they never built anything. These neighborhoods were completely just torn down. They're just big empty lots now, but the people who live there were forced to sell. I think that they're right on this. Make sure that, you know, we don't get to have the government take away our land. It better be a compelling reason, life, safety, or something, that they need to take that land.
And another thing, you know, just because you kick somebody off their, take their house against their will, they can't just move on and get another place. You take a lot of elderly people, have their home paid for. In California, Proposition 13 is keeping their tax rate down to maybe $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
If they're forced to move and they go buy another place for, say, $300,000, their tax rate starts at $3,000. People have made their comfortable retirement lifestyle, and it just turns it upside down in certain instances.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you get to a certain age, it becomes what they call, you know, fixed income. And in terms, you've got your retirement, you've got your pension, you've got Social Security, and that's it. You know, most people don't want to go back to work to try and pay the end of the bills. And if you go and force somebody off of that situation that you just mentioned, they can't afford to buy another house or to do anything like that. And so this is just, you know, leave the land in private ownership. Stop messing with it.
You know, Joe Biden's definition of fixed income is, we'll fix you. We're taking all your income.
Yeah, we'll fix your income.
That's right. You know, this meeting, before we go to a break, was really interesting because for the first time I saw a microphone cut off from a public person commenting who had it coming really good. Are you ready with it's clip number two? All right, Dave's got it popping. Let's go.
To the forefront is all we can really do. As you listen to this, think about getting involved on a board or with a group that you identify with. And I'm not even saying the people that align with me politically, but, you know, if you get involved.
That's not it. It starts
peacefully. Do it peacefully.
That's not it. It starts at 3 hours and 50 minutes, I believe, if you see the clip that's doing that. Anyway.
Welcome to live radio, folks.
Anyway, this needs to go viral. Michigan has completed a forensic audit of the Dominion voting machines to see if they were rigged. The attorney general of the state is now blocking disclosure of the audit results. Gosh, why?
Why? Well, this goes back to our most recent ROV here, the registered voter. The same thing. Why do they always want to block the information that would put you and I at ease? Just put it out there.
Yes.
Just put it out. And if we are wrong and we got our tails spanked and there was no cheating, then let's move on. But when they do this stuff, it just leads us to believe that the Dominion machine is pretty crappy.
Yes. How'd we do on that clip? Did we find it?
The entire thing is 3 hours long.
Starts at 3 hours and I think 50 minutes.
So the clip that's on the county website is not that long.
Oh, see, Nick, you're making stuff up as we go.
So I'm looking here, just back at your email.
Okay, well, that's fine. We'll get it after the break. That's not a big deal. Just remember, I'm right and you're wrong.
I'm always wrong.
Ah! Okay, so let's take, let's play that first YouTube short into the break. And listen after the
I'm
break.
I'm not surprised. What do you think?
Even when I voted Democrat, and I was very outspoken about my beliefs, not one time did a conservative or a Republican call me a name. They never made fun of me, and they never even remarked on my skin color. Now that I'm openly conservative and I support Trump, and my beliefs actually align with my Christianity, Democrats and leftists have called me all the names in the book. They've sworn at me, they've cussed me out, they've cut off friendships, childhood friends and family members, people who actually know me. And they've also made fun of me for being a person of color who votes Republican. And they've pointed out my skin color to me. Basically, they treated me the way that they said Republicans and conservatives do. They've done everything they've accused them of doing.
I'm not surprised. What do you think?
Even when I voted Democrat.
That's the end of her.
Yeah, well, I've got a very similar story. I got a thing from my sister this last week from one of my nieces. And she apparently posted all over Facebook on her page that the political stuff going on and blah, blah, blah. And she's all about diversity and equity and blah, blah, blah. And if you vote for Trump, you are no friend of mine. Unfriend me. Well, that was a very expensive decision for her to make, because my trust is getting modified this week. I will unfriend her.
Well, you know, most of my family's unfriended me.
Well, I unfriend you, but you keep asking me back every 2 weeks. I don't know what the hell that's about.
They wanted me to change my name, so I changed it to Gardner Gardner. Anyway, we're going to go to a break. Are we ready for a break, Dave? Moms from Liberty, right after the break.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Mimi Mosley here from Mosley Family Sellers. We'd just like to thank Reading Rancheria for their generous gift to us. It was so helpful and helped to keep us alive.
Hi, I'm Shelby Mahara with Squishy Doodle Face Painting, and I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Reading Rancheria for all of their support. They always help the community and always help to take care of us when they can.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
I am an elementary school teacher, and I decided to become involved in Moms for Liberty. It is an important time for us to be an advocate for truth and a warrior for liberty.
I'm affiliated with Moms for Liberty because I agree completely with the mission statement, and I don't think there's anything more important than making sure our children get a good education. Last October 2020, our daughter, who's in sixth grade, brought home a Scholastic Junior article on how America is systemically racist. And when we heard about Moms for Liberty, that gave a great vehicle to voice these concerns from a group in the community who usually doesn't have their voices heard.
Throughout this last past year, and with the mask mandate, it's caused medical problems for my son. He is losing all his hair, his eyelashes, and his eyebrows. I took him to every doctor under the sun to rule out all kinds of medical, anything that I could Google and find that would cause this. And it all boils down to stress. I've reached out to my school board numerous times, and they don't care. They don't care about children that don't fit their mold. So that's why I got involved with Moms for Liberty.
Everyone feels overwhelmed with what's going on in our country these days. It's too big. It's too much. As moms, we know the most effective way to have an impact on the future of our country is to start at home. It's to start with education. It's to start local. We launched Moms for Liberty because we saw parents that didn't have a voice in the education system. We started with just two chapters here in Florida, in our communities. And within a matter of 5 months, we've grown to over 30 chapters in 18 states, 15,000 members, and we have hundreds of chapter applications waiting to be processed.
The real power of Moms for Liberty happens in your own backyard. It's about empowering parents, women and men, mothers and fathers, to be the watchdogs of their district, to re-engage in their children's education, to meet during our chapter meetings across this country, to review school board agendas, to review curriculum, and to reclaim the driver's seat in their children's education. On any given night of the week across this country, you can find moms advocating for their children. They might be wearing a Moms for Liberty shirt or a hat. If you see those moms and you know you stand with them in fighting to reclaim your parental rights, find them. join together in your communities. That's where you can truly make the best change.
Our network of chapters is like an early warning system. It connects parents all over the country, allowing them to be aware of issues often before they take foothold in education. It grows stronger every day, and the larger it grows, the better it works. When we begin to see multiple chapters in every state in the country, that's when we'll see the tide change in America. I'm blessed every day to talk to women who are joining our organization because they understand that what is taught in America steers the future of America. And that is what we're striving for as an organization, is unified, informed, empowered parents who together will ensure the survival of our country.
If the past year has shown us anything, it's that it's time for us to reclaim our parental rights in America's public school classroom. Your parental rights do not stop at the classroom door.
We have a plan to turn this ship around. Join us.
So, there you have it. I played that because I don't want Moms for Liberty to be run down like the Tea Party was. The Tea Party was a wonderful party. If it could have stuck and the media got against them, and I don't hear anything from the media about Moms for Liberty. If I do on a podcast or something like that, a talk-in show, it's usually negative. And I've gone to a couple of meetings, and I look at these people that are running our educational system here locally. And it's a bunch of older people that, in my opinion, aren't up on the times. They kind of rubber stamp what Gavin in Sacramento wants to do. And we need our own parents deciding what's best for our kids in their education.
Well, I mean, you said earlier in the first half that we have a socialist running for the school board. I mean,
Joshua Brown.
Wouldn't that be great to put a socialist back on the school board?
Well, he'd fit right in my opinion.
Talk about rubber stamping.
You know, and you can see how our educational system has gone downhill so much. I mean, the kids can't even get an ad. If you look at some of these kids behind the cash register, they have to look and see what the change is. And then they count it back to you. They don't count it in the proper way.
But no, you're just making crap up. They don't count it back to you. They just drop it in your hand.
Well, I had a few of those, too.
Yeah, I don't get it counted back like in the old days. Here's a 1 and a 2 and a 15 and 20 and 30. No, you don't get that anymore. They just drop it and then drop the loose change on top of it all.
Well, the way I was taught, say something costs $3.42 and I give them a $5 bill, I was taught, well, here's $3.43, $44, $45, $50, $4, and $5.
Yep.
And at the same time, you're checking yourself for mistakes.
Yep. I got a job once when I was young because the owner of the store was interviewing me, and then he said, okay, if somebody gives you a customer gives you this, how much change? Boom. If your customer gives you that, boom. He goes, you're hired. And I said, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, most people, and this is, you know, 30-plus years ago. He goes, most people I've interviewed back then, he goes, they couldn't do it off the top of their head, so you got a job. So, but, you know, Nick, that's not a surprise. The liberals have absolutely destroyed America, and they're destroying the West. They took over Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky.
Dumbed down.
Well, you got to dumb them down to get, you know, like my niece. You've got to get them dumbed down so that they go with the narrative. And, I mean, they've got elementary, middle school, high school, junior college, college, so they've done the whole education thing. I mean, when something came out after the last election, I think it was like 97% of political donations went to liberal Democrats in the schooling system as a whole. That's not what I would call fair and balanced at all. And so, you know, when you talk about Moms for Liberty, we do need to take back our education because that's where it starts. If you can control the kids, you've got mom and dad, and they've got them right now.
Well, I'm going to try and get Leslie on here. She's one of the heads, Leslie and Kitty Gorman, for Moms for Liberty here in Shasta County. And maybe we can get her opinion of it. The reason that the liberals are dumbing the people down is they want to be on an even playing field when they say something.
Well, you know, the rule of thumb
they
is...
They want to be as dumb as the liberals. They want everybody as dumb as they are.
Yeah. Well, you know, the rule of thumb is don't argue with an idiot. They wear you down and beat you with experience. That sums it up right there.
Hey, you know, there was something else on this upcoming Shasta County Board of Supervisors meeting this Tuesday, and that is adopt a resolution which conciliates the November 5 2024 general election and allows the county to charge incorporated cities, that's Redding, Shasta Lake City, and Anderson, and districts for actual costs on a prorated basis. So what that's telling me is Shasta County has been footing the bill for all these other places, say Redding, say their city council, we're paying for all the costs that it costs to put them on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And this board, minus Tim and Mary, want them to start paying their fair share. That's another way this board is saving the county money. And I just found out something yesterday on the show on the other radio station that when they finally got it settled how much money they got from Facebook and Zuckerberg, remember Kevin insisted, we'll take this money, but it can only be used for a building.
You got to buy a building.
And Joanna, she was accused. Kathy Darling Allen and the counselor Ross fine penciled it and changed the wording and got the money and hid it from the board.
Oh.
When they finally got it sorted out and got the money, they used that money to pay for the heart machines. So, it didn't cost Shasta County any money to buy them $900,000+ heart machines. So, in reality, this board, Kevin Cryan in particular, because he was a swing vote, saved the county $266,000 a year, plus the cost for special elections. And
that's not bad.
Well, the recall people think he cost millions of dollars by making that decision, and it turns out he saved millions of dollars by making that decision.
Well, I've publicly said it on our radio show, and I'll say it again to our supervisors. You know, one of the things on the recall for Kevin was they kept saying this was going to cost us millions, with an S. And even comrade Kathy said that it was going to be $1.6 million. So, I mean, give her due. She didn't add an S to the end of it, but everybody else did, trying to get Kevin recalled. Well, we've had the election now. Somebody come out and say publicly, what did this election actually cost with the revised setup? I mean, and if it's millions, then we are wrong. I will flat out say we were wrong.
But
the funny thing is, you know it didn't, because if it did, those people would have been out there touting it from the top of the mountain, saying that this thing bankrupted us. And I just want to know, what actually did this election recently cost? What was the true cost into the county? And I'll bet you money it's not even close to what the people on the recall, and that is proof of what you're saying, is Kevin actually saved us money,
lots of money.
Yes. So a little rambling there, but I just you and I were very staunch supporters of Kevin during that recall, because every single thing the liberals and the rhinos kept accusing him of proved to be patently false. And so here's just another example of that. And Mr. Zuckerberg, thank you very much for your money.
Yeah, and you know, Shasta County has been subsidizing these elections. Also, they're subsidizing the cost of the jail. When 80% of our guests to the Shasta County jail come from the city of Redding, they don't want to put up any money for a jail.
No.
They don't even want it in downtown Redding, which is, you know, it's on the outskirts of downtown Redding, which they've cleaned up quite a bit. You know, there's a lot less homeless in downtown Redding than there is over on Hilltop now.
Yeah.
They moved them over there. But, you know, court costs. When they arrest somebody and they go to court, Shasta County's picking up the bill. Public defender costs, we're picking up the bill. I think it's time to hold Redding and Shasta Lake City and Anderson accountable for the costs that they push off on the county taxpayer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and, you know, it's funny you say that, Nick, because that is kind of what Kevin, and I'll put Kevin and put him on a bit of a pedestal here, because that's what that whole thing with the casino was about, the deal with the casino. Is the casino is now, for the first time ever, moving forward, going to have to pick up some of the cost, if not all the cost, for service calls. Why can't we do that with Anderson? Why can't we do that with Redding? Have them put into the pot to protect or to pay for the jail and all the associated costs. I mean, Johnson, the sheriff, talked about the fact that whomever the flippant idiot is who designed the new new courthouse did not consult him nor anybody in law enforcement. And at the current old one, they actually have a holding room that can hold multiples of criminals awaiting trial, and they can go through a tunnel. According to Johnson, at the new facility, they've got 6 holding rooms. That means they can transport 6 prisoners over to the courthouse. They have to transport them by vehicle, unload them, and then they have to go back and get 6 more, and then they got to take these 6 back. And he said that the way this was designed was so bad. But we've got this big, shiny new building, and it was done wrong because the people that they should have consulted with, they did not.
Yeah, but you know,
let's pick some of that cost up with the city and
they
and
certainly did have a law enforcement to advise them on that, and that was Leonard Modi.
Oh,
Johnson wasn't in office when they started that. Leonard Modi was the big cheese on the block. He should have picked that up.
Yeah. Because Johnson said that's increased his cost dramatically, because now instead of just going in a tunnel and bringing, 10 at a time or whatever their numbers were, he's literally got to load up a van, drive 2 blocks, park in the safe zone, unload, and then they can't bring anybody else until somebody goes away.
So, in my opinion, that's another flub from Leo.
Well, Leo's got a lot of them. Emperor Leo's got a lot of those.
So what? Let's go back to that clip of the person that got their Fourth Amendment rights violated. It's clip number 2, and we're ready to go right now.
Protect yourself. How can you pick somebody who actually goes against what you claim to be for, protecting kids? I can't believe it. But, you're so smart. You're so intelligent. It just shows that you're not. You guys don't do your homework at all to do the background, who you pick and who you appoint. Chamber of Commerce is under investigation for criminal activity.
I'm not sure this is about...
It is. It is. It's under the...
C4.
C4. That is, you appoint people that you don't even know. And she's under investigation. You don't know how to research. You don't pay attention.
Ms.
You don't care.
Ms. Lucero, it is contained with the 2 names in C4, not those that were appointed in the past.
Excuse me, but are you the one who runs the meeting?
I
don't, please do not interrupt. Do not interrupt me.
Stephanie, cut her mic.
Go ahead, cut it.
Now listen, crank her up, listen.
Thank you, moving on.
No, go ahead.
Moving on. We're going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and take our vote to C4. We'll start super under discussion. Supervisor Jones.
I'm glad you put this on video because now I've got better grounds to come after all of you.
Supervisor Jones.
So when you take a look at the current members in the past, you see guys like Mike Mingus, which we all know and like Mike, but he has no medical background, and he's doing a good job there. And then also Christian from the family YMC. And I think we also on this had Ben Hanna, Deputy DA, which again had no medical experience. So
everything up here, Supervisor Jones, I think until the end of this calendar year is going to be politicized as best as possible. And the thing for me is I feel, I don't even want to say ashamed or appalled, but you look at like Kim Bettish and Aaron Hunter, who are stepping up to do something such as jumping on these types of boards and to have their, names and efforts so clouded before they even have a chance to get sworn in and move forward. It is a shame, but I think that's what people have to understand.
So there you go. What this was about was appointing 2 members to the board, whatever board that was. And Big D there, she had it in for this Kate Colby, who was appointed last week, had nothing to do with what the topic was. And that's why they cut her, because she wasn't on topic. And she gets to rambling on and on and on, so they cut her mic. So I dare say this next meeting, Kevin and probably the rest of the board are all going to go to jail because they violated her Fourth Amendment rights. And you could hear that screaming in the background. Most of the time you can't hear that, but that goes on quite often from the recall crew.
Oh yeah, only from the recall. I mean, yeah, that clip you played about that the black lady talking about how when she was a Democrat, the conservatives we don't beat them up, we don't yell at them, we don't call them names, we don't call them deplorables, we don't make fun of them, we don't call them conspiracy theorists. But the other side will automatically go down hatred lane, and that's how those folks in that recall worked, is they would just start screaming. And that's part of rules for radicals, is you've just got to be disruptive and loud and throw bombs and let the bomb explode against the fan. We, as conservatives, are trying to cover the fan. They walk off and they start throwing another bomb somewhere else. And so that's been standard practice now for about a year and a half. Yeah, I don't think it happened much before that, did it? Before the recall? All the yelling and screaming and stuff?
Well, in all fairness, there was quite a bit of yelling and screaming when they wanted to recall Leonard Modi, and it was on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, this is completely on the left, the recallers.
Yeah, the one side.
And there was quite a break in between it.
Yeah.
But that's the liberal mantra, you know. If you can't get your way, scream and yell and try and bully your way to get people to go along with you.
Well, you know, liberals have destroyed our country. I mean, I don't mince words anymore, folks. I mean, I'm to the point that I'm watching stuff. I was having a discussion with my wife the other day, and the more I talked, the more I could see it was irritating and depressing her, because I was just laying out things that are happening, connecting dots. These aren't right-wing conspiracy dots. These are things that are happening. And the problem is, Nick, is we let it happen. I mean, back in the day when you had crazy Uncle Lenny or Aunt Lily, who was a whack job liberal, it was so crazy, you didn't give it time of day. Well, they've cut us by a million cuts now, and we're at the point now where our country is on literally the edge, and that's their strategy, is they yell at us and go, and we just don't, you know, we don't need the light on us. We don't need, you know, we're kind of like cockroaches. We don't want to have the light on us. We just want to live our life, and they will scream and yell at us till the end of the world.
And then, again, we've got another controversial appointment coming up Tuesday. Tim Garman has nominated Benjamin Nguyen to be on the Election Integrity Board. He's very outspoken. He's very left-leaning. He thinks the elections have been honest forever. And
problem number one.
In my opinion, the only reason that he put him on there is to stir up a hornet's nest again, because, like I said last week, there's plenty of level-headed people that don't think the election was stolen that would come in and talk and try and persuade you. I read where his mission is to change everybody's mind and everything's good and get rid of this election or this commission. It's a bunch of BS and won't happen. So anyway, if you got time, it might be a pretty interesting meeting.
Well, and Nick, you bring that up because this goes back to, I really want people to understand, I hope Mr. Garman's political career is dead, and I say that because he's in there as a Republican, and then he tried, not only did he break the rules with Kevin crying the recall and showing up, I mean, anybody knows you can't do that, but then he just recently wanted to appoint Nathan Pinckney to this, who's just an outspoken, out there BLM Antifa activist, and now this guy. So Republicans, do keep in mind, that's who Mr. Garman is. He's giving you the middle finger, basically trying to tell you that he's going to appoint these radical left people when he's supposed to be common courtesy, you know, common sense conservative, and he's doing everything opposite of that.
I've got a prediction. This just came to me. I think he's got a secret weapon he's going to pull out when he comes to running for election in 2026. I'll wager he joins Bethel. He might even be a pastor.
I don't know. I don't know what goes on at Bethel. I just know that there's a lot of influence currently in the local city government. But you know what's interesting, Nick, and this is a complete segue different to what we've been talking about, but watched the Republican convention this last week, and you know, you got to be fair and honest when you deal with this. And I was watching Trump give his speech, and the reason people do not like that man is he could have done that speech in one half the time, and if he had just stayed on point and one thing that I was talking to Frank here in the office here in the morning is Trump needs to learn something. So if anybody can get to Donald Trump, tell him to stop using the word I. There is no I in team. He didn't do any of the crap he says he did. a team did it. He had people around him who executed those orders and got lower tax rates and did this stuff. And the reality is it lasted 4 years and we got screwed back out of it. But he would do a lot if he could just go to, we did this. My suggestion was taken and we lowered taxes and we did this. And meeting with my defense people, we took out Soleimani. Start sharing some of that positive stuff with other people instead of just constantly going, I. And then every single person the man talks about is amazing, wonderful. Not everybody's always amazing and wonderful. Just say, Nick Gardner was a good guy. He did great. Let's move on. And so I actually turned him off a little after halfway because
turned me off halfway?
No, I turned Trump off because that's the bitch with the guy.
Why don't you give his team all the credit for shutting everything down over COVID, remember?
I did.
Coming up with the RNA.
That jab.
Yes.
Yes, and
but
the
he got all the blame. You gave it, but this is Podunk Redding. He got all the blame all the way across the country.
No, I know. And when actually he did do it. He did lock us down. He did give us
his team. His team did. You just said his team.
Well, at that point, he's the one that issued the order himself. And he was surrounded by pariahs. Let's be blunt. He was surrounded by bad people, but anybody with a minor education knew within 2 weeks this was a big nothing burger. It was just a flu. And he locked everybody down and destroyed lives. And,
you know, he was too busy trying to make peace in the Middle East with the Abraham Accords, where
he got
four different countries to sign peace accords.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else was running that COVID deal. Well, in my opinion, he can't run everything.
No, he can't run everything. But, you know, and the funny thing is this is one also where I think that it irritates me is the facts are now overwhelming. But beyond a reasonable doubt, if you were on trial, it's beyond a reasonable doubt. He still thinks that everything he did and the jab was good. Come out and just say, look, that was what we worked on the best that we had. But he still believes that he did everything right. And I would go one-on-one, toe-to-toe with Mr. Trump and prove to him that he did a lot of things wrong that affected millions of people.
Fauci on Trump's wound.
Fauci.
Blitzer. What more does the public need to know about the extent of Donald Trump's injuries and his treatment? Here's Fauci. You know, I don't think there's much more to it. I mean, you know, what we've seen and what we've heard, it was a bullet shot that grazed his ear and injured his ear, according to physicians who examining. This was a flesh wound. Let's forget about it. Move on. And then I hear the forensic sound audits, and they claim there was two shooters. You know, this is getting ridiculous. I believe that probably the Secret Service and the people guarding him did a really, really poor job. Maybe if he was in on it. But I don't think that this... And I've even heard people say that they think that Trump orchestrated the whole thing. Why would he do that?
Yeah.
What's he got to gain?
Well, I mean, and the reality is a quarter inch on his self-determination would have ended very badly for him. So I'm not sure that you play that close to your ear. But I said on Carl Botts the other day that I believe this was a three-letter operation, CIA, FBI, and Secret Service.
Do you believe there was more than one shooter?
Well, it's funny as I had somebody send me, thank you, Don, send me a video that purports to show that there was a shooter that was from a completely different angle up in a tree. As I said on Carl Bott, the problem in today's world and moving forward is AI is going to destroy our world. It's just going to. We're not going to know what's real, what's not, what's fake, what's this. And so this video is pretty compelling. It lays it out, shows where the shots and shows where these people were at and how people got hit or ricochets of a bullet. But is it real?
Well,
is it real or did AI make that?
First off, I don't see any possibilities for ricochet. He's surrounded by soft tissue. That's people. If there was somebody shooting from a different direction and they missed, they would have hit somebody. We know that.
After the show, I'll show you what was sent to me. Again, I'm not saying it is or it is not real. I'm just saying there was it looks like a bullet may have hit one of the rails on the stands on the Tribune, and it ricocheted because it's like a fluff of dust or metal that goes in the air. But that's just the problem. We're now at an age where we're not going to know what's real and what's not, Nick.
So you have to listen to Poke the Hornet's Nest, because this is real intelligence. This isn't artificial intelligence.
Well, I'll let you claim the intelligence part. I'll just be the one that's funny. How's
and
that?
You're doing a damn good job. And I mean with a capital D.
And, Nick, I got to say, you have a face for radio that a mom could just be proud of.
Thank you so much. That's awfully kind of you.
I'm trying to be kind as we finish the show, because a little news flash for a short window of time, folks. Nick and I will be on every Sunday. We are looking for somebody that may want to come in and do two Sundays a month. But for the next couple of Sundays, Nick and I will be here every single Sunday to enlighten, educate, and sometimes abuse.
You know, I like to show both sides of the story.
Maybe I do, too.
We can get some hobos and bums to come in here and talk every
day. Unhoused people. Unhoused.
That's right. That's
yes.
right.
We want that. We want their side of the story.
Talk about their wants and their needs.
Yes. Yeah. Or we could do like what they did in, I think it was Los Angeles, where they gave them a...
Shipped them to Redding?
No. They gave them a homeless shelter. The
news
illegal
from
immigrants.
Town Hall is brought to you by KCNR Shasta.
They
Redding
complained about
Shasta
it.
Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta
Let
Regional Medical Center.